Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, September 12th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. Again, you can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. That's right. We're back this week. And before I explain what happened last week, I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I always do. And you can hear him laughing at me in the background. So I'm going to go with him first from the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. Sir, how you doing, buddy?
All right, good to be back.
Good to have you. I told Rob in the pre-show little huddle that we did, man, I'm tired this week. I'm tired. I'm trying to bring the energy, but it's been a long, busy week at work. I'm cooked, but we're going to do this thing tonight because we missed last week. Also on the show, last but never, ever least.
We didn't miss last week.
No, we didn't miss. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But first, you just heard him in the background chiming in. He is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful, gents. How are you?
I already told you, I'm cooked, man. I'm tired.
Oh, okay.
Do the damn thing.
So, let me explain last week. So, we're usually pretty good about turning in our content on time. You know, we record the show on Thursdays. I edit it on Friday, get it over to my boss, and, you know, we're ready to go to drop by Saturday. Well, last week we did an episode. We did a wonderful episode. We had a lot to talk about. There was a WWE Premium Live event, an NXT Premium Live event. Rob went to a New Japan show, and Jason did a little side quest with his lovely wife that included some wrestling. We recorded about a 90-minute episode, had a great time, had some great discussion, talked about a lot of things, and the production manager forgot to hit the record button. So we sat here for almost 2 hours talking, having great conversation. Okay. Meanwhile, the production manager was off doing whatever production managers do when the talent is working, and forgot to hit record. So the production manager has since been fired and replaced. So hopefully this week the production manager, the new production manager, does a better job. Yeah, I was so pissed at myself. Like, honestly, guys, I was. You guys saw me. I took my headset off. I was like, yeah. What? Did so disgusted with myself last week.
Hey, man. What episode is this?
Well, this would be 210, but since we didn't upload last week, this week is
209.
209
episodes without a snafu like that. I think we're doing pretty well. That's a pretty good batting average, man. So don't beat yourself up too bad.
Yeah,
no, I just,
and,
I think.
Let's let everyone behind the curtain. There's a big red light in the corner of everyone's screen that we see when it is recording. Also, DJ always says, and now I am recording. So gentlemen, there we go. And we don't even, that doesn't even start the show. We might powwow for another 15 minutes, but we know we're recording. So this is on all of us, all three of us. So do not let DJ take the brunt of this.
Yep, we sure did. We got right in off the rip last week. We had a lot to talk about. You know, we had Bash in Berlin. We had NXT No Mercy. Rob went to a New Japan show, and Jason had a big thing that he was excited about. So there was a lot to talk about, and we just went right into it because the week before we got long-winded and did a two-hour episode, and we didn't want to do that again. So we just, like, shot right in there and got started, and, yep, not a single one of us noticed until I went to turn off the recording at the end of the episode and realized I never started. So to you, the listener, those of you who are faithful every week and you look for us, you wait for us, and you're ready for us, I do, you know, we collectively apologize to you for missing last week. Collectively apologize to everybody at the Chairshot Radio Network. We try to keep this consistent. We try to do our thing. And, you know, last night or last week, you know, we kind of let all that down and let everybody down. Last week was a rough week for me for podcasts. Not only did I not record this one, but I was supposed to do musical chairs with Patrick O'Dowd on Saturday, and my Saturday fell apart. Like, Tina and I had to run out and run some errands. I'm like, okay, I need to be home by 3, maybe 3:15 at the latest. I had my band picked out, had everything, all the particulars, and at about 2 o'clock, we're still out and about doing things, and I'm starting to realize we're not going to be home in time for all of this. So I ended up having a bailout on Patrick 11th hour, which stinks. So again, I apologize for that. So there was, I'm part of the reason there was no new episode of Musical Chairs this week. So anywho.
But it's a new week.
It's a new week. It's a fresh start. I'm loaded with podcasts this week, going on with the Attitude of Aggression guys on this week. We're going to talk, I think we're talking King of the Ring 94, I think. Yep, going to be a good show. But this week, Mindless Wrestling Podcast is back for you, the listeners, for everybody that's a fan of the network. Let's get this thing rolling. We've got a bit to talk about here this week. And Rob has the PWI 500 was today they released it.
It was a couple days ago.
But Rob has a copy. And we were going to pick apart at least the top 10, maybe the top 20. I don't want to go too deep on this. Jason is under protest for reasons.
So I'll throw the whole damn list out. Start from the beginning, everybody. We messed up. This is a travesty. This is like this. You thought the last election was bad, boy, man. I might go march on PWI headquarters, man.
Jason's going full January 6th on PWI headquarters.
Don't try to run through the glass barricade because they might shoot you.
Okay? Don't do that. And if you do it, please wear like the bear skin suit that the dude wore. Bearskin suit with the horns and everything. You got to do the whole gimmick, man.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm going in there with a SWAT vest and an Uefara, and I'm going to start knocking heads.
And, Jason, why is that?
Because Roman goddamn Reigns finished the 1,316-day title run, the greatest run in the modern era, the greatest run in any era. And he was not one of the PWI 500 best wrestlers or whatever they call it. I think they do just call it the PWI 500.
Yeah. But, okay, so this is well, they have two, they have a men's list.
And then the rules. All right, go ahead. Yeah,
Rob's going to explain the parameters here.
Yes, they have rules. Okay. This is, so they have every year, they have a men's list, they have a women's list, and they have a, they think they do a tag team list too. But, I'm not sure. But the men's list is for men and for women who have done intergender matches. So there are some women in the top 500 here because there are some women who regularly do intergender matches. Now, to make the list, to qualify for the list, you had to wrestle 10 matches between August 1st, 2023 and July 31st, 2024. And our man, Roman Reigns, only wrestled 4 matches. Crown Jewel, Royal Rumble, and then 2 matches at WrestleMania.
God bless him, man.
That came up a little short. So, yes, it sucks, but, and look, when having participated in some of these kind of little lists, when you have people who are on a very limited schedule, it is very hard to figure what to do with them. Because.
So, yeah, that makes it really tough. In all seriousness, like, yeah, I get it. But also, it's a kayfabe list, right?
Yes.
Right.
In a cup, once in a while, you can kayfabe it yourself. And you can just say, included in, you don't have to make him even number one. You don't even have to put him in the top 100. But you could just squeeze him in and be like, by the way, here's a little blurb, because what, I don't know. I don't even know if that would be more insulting or not. But in any case, it's just kind of weird to have that title run end in this period. And he's not on the list? Wait, because it was, when did it end? July, you said July?
July 31st of this year.
Okay, so yeah, it had the end of that reign in it. Like, I'm just surprised they didn't, like, kayfabe it as, like, we got a letter to the editor from, you know, some, you know, very important, you know, person. I don't know.
Very, I can promise you, Roman Reigns looked at his bank account and said, well, my bank account's number one.
No, I don't give a shit about that. I'm talking about, if you look at PWI, like, and yeah, obviously, it doesn't matter if he's number one. He's number one, he's the greatest of all time. Whatever he is on this list is inconsequential. However, if you look back and if you're a wrestling fan, one of the things we do is kind of like a, you know, let's look back. This guy has climbed the PWI. This guy was in the top 50 this many times. This guy made it that many times. And it kind of charts a history of wrestling. To not have him on the list the year that that title reign came to an end is just weird. And so you have the WWE champion on there, the current WWE champion on there, and no one else. Right, in terms of like the championship, because obviously the championship only changed hands once. It's just odd.
It's a little odd, but I get it given their, you know, their criteria. And, you know, this is a kayfabe list, so, you know, I'm not taking it overly seriously, but we're going to play with the top 10 first, Rob, in the realm of kayfabe, because there's some arguments that could be made that we could reshuffle this top 10 a little bit.
Oh, sure. All right, let's start from the bottom. Okay. Number 10 is Mystico, and we know Mystico as Sin Cara. And... Wow. Well, because it says he won the middleweight championship in CMLL. He captured the MLW middleweight championship. So he's in February, he's a double champion. And so basically, he's a double champion. He's been defending two titles for several months now. And we don't watch CMLL, you know. So, but it's important enough, you know. I mean, if you look, if he's the middleweight, if he's an important champion in CMLL and he's been beating a bunch of people, then yeah, that would warrant him having a high position on some type of list like this.
But I'm going to have to, when we get to 11 to 20, I'm going to have to look at that and say, okay, do we really rank him at 10? But I'm going to let it ride for now.
Okay.
Yeah, number 9. We just don't know enough, frankly.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. Like, yeah, I mean,
and you have to figure they're not going to, you know, and rightfully so, they're not going to load the top 10 with all WWE guys.
Nor should they. If this is a serious sports, kayfabe sports publication, no, they shouldn't just load it up with, like, you know, the all WWE guys.
Right.
Right.
And then to make an analogy here, in the mid 1970s, Dr. J was the best basketball player in the world. Dr. J played in the ABA, not the NBA.
Yeah.
But everybody, when he was at his absolute peak, he was the best basketball player in the world.
Right, right. And
even though he was playing in the ABA. So, you know, it happens, you know. And, well, but just, again, this is a kayfabe thing. So, you know, winning a title in CMLL is every bit as a big deal, or it is a big deal in the kayfabe world of professional wrestling.
Even though being a double champion is a big deal.
Yes.
In the kayfabe world of professional wrestling. So yeah, okay, I'll let it go.
Well, I mean, you being a double champion, you could even say that's a big deal in the real world. Like, we're, even if it's a couple of weeks, we're tying up two of our belts for you.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Number 9 is Gunther. Marcus.
This is one that I really had an issue with. This one should have been higher.
I'm doing this live because I don't know the top 10. I only know number 1.
Okay. So last year he was number 4. And so basically their reasoning for dropping him was that he lost Intercontinental title.
And his world championship win was after the...
Yes, it was after that.
So. It was after the, okay...
So he had cooled off a little bit, not really, but I mean in the sporting world, he had cooled off a little bit towards the end of the grading scale, and he was intercontinental champion, not world champion. So, yeah, nine's probably about right. I think, again, I don't know who outranked him here, but just as it hits the year, it doesn't feel wrong.
Okay, now here's where it gets a little funny here. Number 8 is Jon Moxley, and so he won the New Japan, he won the IWGP World Championship in April of this year, held it for a few months, and I'm just going to say the match where he lost it back to Naito was one of the worst World Championship matches I've ever watched, and that match should have been sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service.
They both mailed it in?
Yes. Okay. But other than that, all right. So he got to the finals of the AEW Continental Classic, and he beat Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal, Roosh, Swerve, and Jay White. So those are, you know, beating 5 of those people, and both 5 guys in the tournament is pretty, you know, significant. But other than that, I think he can be lower. I'm sorry. I mean,
I can't in clear. Yes, everything he did, I can't in clear conscience. Because again, going back to Jason's argument for Roman Reigns, Gunther lost the Intercontinental Championship during that time period. Yes, but it was the single longest Intercontinental Championship reign in history.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so. What are we doing? Like in kayfabe, that matters. That's important.
Right. And of course, the picture for Mr. Moxley here, of course he is bleeding.
Yeah, of course he is.
Number 7 is MJF. He was AEW world champion for like 4 or 5 months, I think.
Several months too, though.
He was AEW world champion for he had it for like a year. He lost it in December.
He was for a while.
Yeah, he lost it in December. So he was champ for about almost half of the period here. And then he came back and he won the international title, had that for like a month. 7's too high. Seven's too high. Yeah.
I would probably have Gunther, MJF, and then Mox. Because I just personally, I think Gunther had a more important year during that grading period.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean,
That's really, in the top 10, that was really the only discrepancy I had was those three.
Would you, where would you guys put, and put your kayfabe hats on, where we live in this world? At this point, where would you put kayfabe, the AEW World Championship in terms of kayfabe? Is it the second title? World title.
I would say second, but if it's in terms of doing this list, if somebody was AEW World Champion for the entire period, then I would put them over somebody who was WWE Champion for a month or something like that.
That's fair.
In kayfabe, is the AEW World Championship more important than the IGW?
Currently.
I'd say yes, because right now New Japan, they're depleted right now.
But, given their history and their lineage, is what I'm thinking. Because again, I'm looking at the entirety of it. Is the AEW World Championship more important? Because remember, we're grading Moxley on the fact that he won that.
Yeah. Even in kayfabe, I would say right now, I would say the AEW title is more important. Today. Today. Historically, okay. No. But today, okay. Because I look at it like this. The guy who was the ace of New Japan came over to AEW.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
also, DJ, who is the AEW world champion right now?
Bryan Danielson.
No, and who is the New Japan World Heavyweight Champion?
Honestly, couldn't tell you. Naito.
That's Rob. That was my point. You don't even know who the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Okay, but that's an unfair question because I live in a very small bubble that is largely WWE, with AEW kind of being peripherally, and I get much less exposure to New Japan than I do even AEW. So I'm just asking this as a wrestling historical type of thing, given that the AEW World Heavyweight Championship has only been in existence for 5 years.
True.
So I don't want to get too deep. That's a discussion for another day. I was just curious.
Because if we really want to do that, then you could say the IWGP title is second to the WWE World title. You could say that's ahead of. You could say the IWGP title is more important, is bigger than the Universal Championship if you want to go. History
and that's a fair point.
Yeah, yep. I mean, because I think that's the only one that's been around longer is the WWE World Championship. So I mean, yeah.
Unless you count that 10 pounds of gold that Billy Corgan's sending around the country with EC3.
And you go to see the show and then they take the gas out of your car in the parking lot.
It's the wildest story. That is insane. Real wrestling is back, pal.
Oh man. But anyway, all right. Number six I can forgive some of those people I thought were too high because I like number six. Number six, Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a hell of a year, man.
And he really did.
Won Money in the Bank. He won the tag team title twice, and he won the world title at WrestleMania. And he defended it. And as of the end of the period, he was still the world champion.
And I will say this: because of him and Seth, that does not feel the same as I didn't experience it live. But everyone says it does not feel like a second place trophy like the old Big Gold used to.
Yeah, I would say that.
It's an important championship.
The Universal Champion, the Undisputed, obviously just got unified, and with the run that just had, you just can't even look at them the same, no matter what they've been doing with the World Heavyweight Championship. But, to their credit, I think they've got it to the legit level, where that's the AWWE World Championship, right there.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, along the way here, Priest, he beat McIntyre at Clash of the Castle. He beat Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank. This was, all before, this was while being champion. So he's beaten some big name people and
he cashed in at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I think he He beat Cody on an episode of Raw, I think.
Yeah. I think he did. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't clean, but he still won. I mean, so.
Right.
So he beat a lot of big important people this year, and then appeared he was the World Heavyweight Champion, so.
Fair enough with me. I'm good with it.
Yep. All right. Number five is Naito, and here's what happened with him. All right. So he won the world title of the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, and he won the G1 during the period. So look, that's like winning Royal Rumble and then winning the world title at WrestleMania. Basically. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because the G1, they use it the exact same. Sometimes it's a propelling device. And sometimes it's like, no, this guy's going to win it for the second time because he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. From five up, I think it pretty well lines up pretty fairly with, you know, I don't have a problem with 5-1.
Yeah. So for our listeners out there who may not have seen this list, 4 is Seth Rollins. And of course, he was world champion from June through WrestleMania. He was world heavyweight champion. But of course after WrestleMania, he was injured, so he didn't wrestle much after WrestleMania. So, 3 is Ospreay. He won he won a bunch of stuff. He retired. Well, he left New Japan. He defended the U.S. title in his last match in New Japan and defended it successfully. So he was U.S. champion in New Japan, did not lose that title. He just vacated it. Yeah.
Right.
He won a mid-card title a couple of times in AEW. So, yeah. And he beat Bryan Danielson earlier this year at AEW Dynasty. So that's a huge deal. And number 2 is Swerve Strickland, speaking of AEW World Champion. So he won the World Championship in April. He was still champion as of the end of the period here, and he beat Will Ospreay in one of his defenses. So you can't, I mean, that's a huge deal. And he defended the title a couple other times. And this is a big jump for him. Last year he was 112, this year's number 2.
I really think he's made a legitimate claim for himself to belong in that top 10. You know, yes. I know a lot of people thought early on his world championship reign kind of felt throwaway, but I feel like the last few months he turned the corner with it and really, really elevated himself as an overall talent.
Yeah, I think when he went back to being heel, when they started building him up and Brian, that's when it really turned because he's not really a baby face, but they were kind of stuck doing that for a while. But once they flipped it around and had him start acting like a full heel again, it turned everything around.
Yeah. Some people are just better at certain roles, and he's a great heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And number one, well, I think so. It's obvious who number one is, I think, since, you know, that's Mr. Rhodes. And
you can't argue this one.
No, you can't. I mean, he worked damn near every WWE show. He won like 90% of his matches. He won the Royal Rumble again. He won the Universal title. He defended it a bunch of times. And he won a tag team title for about a month with him and Jay Uso. So, and he beat Brock Lesnar, during that period at SummerSlam.
Yeah. It all matters.
Yes. Now, yeah. There are some names there are a few notable names, you know, looking at the rest of the list here. There's some people who really did really well for themselves. Our guy Mustafa Ali, he was 108 last year. He went all the way up to 19 this year.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that very much. That dude's been a workhorse.
Yes. And he worked everywhere and he had a nice run as X Division champion. Another guy, Nick Nemeth, he was formerly Dolph Ziggler. He was 393 last year. This year he's 22.
Ooh.
Important. He's had a hell of a run in TNA.
Yes. At number 28, up from 213, Trick Williams, 28.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
I would almost bet he's higher next year.
Absolutely.
He'll crack the top 20 next year.
Yeah. And
And it won't be close to 20. It'll be closer to 10.
Yeah. And let me see who else. There. And got a couple of debuts here. We have debuting at number, where is he? Number 53. Obafemi. Debuting at number 53.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Yes. And two spots ahead of him, up from 84, Joe Henry. Another guy who's done really great for himself over the last year. And let's see, a couple of other guys that I noticed. Where are you? Where are you? I'll just skip going. Where is it? There. And Chad Gable was 338 last year. He's up to 89.
Oh,
I feel like he would be higher, but he's been on the losing end of most of the feuds that he's been involved in.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Because as a worker, I think he's just non-kayfabe worker. I think Chad Gable's easily top 30 in the world. But again, looking at this list objectively, kayfabe, he's lost a lot, man. He's got to start winning.
Yeah. And number 95 was not ranked last year. Number 95, Javon Evans.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a good year, so.
Yeah.
And yeah, he literally jumped onto the scene and just and he was literally like on NXT level up 1 week, and now he's a mainstay on NXT.
And there's another guy unranked this year. He's 126. Our man AJ France is top dollar.
Top dollar.
And he's another guy. He works everywhere. He works. He's working TNA. He's working MLW. He's working a bunch of other places. He's done really well for himself since getting released from WWE. Yeah, I think there might have been one or two more, but and one of the things that is fun about this list is when you see people go on Twitter who have just made it for the first time and they're just happy as hell, or people who, or somebody who's made a big jump. And even like if it's somebody we don't know, right? I mean, just see them show up in your timeline or whatever. And
hey, look, man, if I were still active and I made the PWI 500, like there are thousands of professional wrestlers. And you got picked out of thousands to be one of the top 500. That's pretty cool. I mean, yes, it's a kayfabe list, and yes, it is what it is, but it's still pretty cool that out of the thousands of people that are doing this, this little magazine and its criteria chose you to be one of the top 500. Yeah, and that's pretty cool. I would brag that. I'd be all over Twitter with it. Even though I made 499.
Step one complete. You got noticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at number 181, up from 457, our friend of the show, Mr. Dijak.
There we go. Attaboy.
Yeah. And I think there might have been one more. But yeah, to me, it's always good. It's fun to see people either climb or you're just happy to get on there for the first time. And because, I mean, a lot of these folks that, you know, they're working for years and years and years, and you know, just getting recognized, like I said, it matters.
Yeah.
Even if being number, like I said, there are thousands of wrestlers. Being number 450, you know, still means that you're better than, that people thought you were better than probably, what, 90% or 75%?
A lot of your peers, man.
Yeah.
You know what? I know we sit here and we kvetch about the listings and the rankings and, you know, this guy said Gunther should have been higher than Mox and MJF. And we do it in good fun just because of how we view the criteria and everything. But yeah, to make it on that list, kayfabe the hell out of it, man. Have fun with it. Go nuts.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I think that's everybody. Yeah, that's everybody.
All right. Jason, you got any last minute thoughts on this?
Nope. Hopefully next year, Dijak's even higher.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He hasn't been picked up by anybody yet. Is his 90 days up?
Not sure. I think I don't know, but hopefully, like I said, hopefully he will, you know, he'll find his way somewhere and, you know, start putting some things together.
Putting some work in, man. Let's see what happens.
It'd be very funny if he ended up in TNA and then back on NXT.
That would be actually very laugh out loud hilarious.
Hold on. Can we talk about that for a second, since we really don't have that much more to get to?
Sure.
The TNA NXT thing. They've got Tatum. My gosh, both their names just fell.
They've
out
got
of my
Rosemary
head.
Now. Rosemary, with, thank you. Wendy Chu.
Thank you for knowing exactly what I wanted to go to. So
I read your mind, Jason. We've been doing this for 209-ish episodes.
Right, and they're a team with – do they have any history?
I don't think so.
Aside from being creepy, no.
So, I didn't know if Wendy crossed paths with her before she came to NXT. But, like, I'm saying that's notable to me because the Rascals going back and forth is – everybody knows what it is because they used to work here. Wes still works here. You know, it is what it is. But to pair up the two creepy folks who have otherwise no history and have them run roughshod on both shows, that's fascinating to me. And it says that this, obviously it says this relationship at a minimum is going very well. Like, and everybody trusts everybody. But do you think there's another stone, like totally put on your fantasy book and hats or whatever you want to call them. Do you think there's another stone to be found or overturned here with like maybe WWE is eventually going to buy them or I don't know.
I don't know. Wendy actually this Friday, Wendy is, cause TNA is having one of their B shows. I forgot which one this is. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
But Wendy is challenging Jordan Grace this Friday, I believe.
What I think is interesting is that at least for now, it looks like NXT and TNA are setting up some long-term storytelling. And this Wendy Chu-Rosemary relationship seems to be one of those things. Now, you know, were we talking long-term, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 2 years down the road, who knows? But I just think it's interesting that, like you said, this partnership appears to be going very well and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. It makes me wonder what is the, and it's almost cliche to use this term, what is the end game here? Like, do they just keep running adjacent of each other and, you know, trading talent back and forth for the foreseeable future? Or is there a, like, quote unquote super show at the end of all this? Right.
And yeah, maybe I was going to say, maybe it's not as crazy as them buying them or whatever. But yeah, that's another great idea. Like a super show that's, you know, just a straight up like it's branded TNA WWE. I don't know.
Yeah. So what is NXT on right now, Chad, TV wise?
They're on Tuesday.
What channel?
They're on USA right now. They're going to
they're on USA.
They're going over to CW. Okay. Now I think one thing I think would be really good because we've talked in our chat, you know, about how there's kind of a bottleneck forming in the NXT women's division.
Yeah.
And TNA's knockouts division has been depleted. Cause I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, Trinity, Deonna Purrazzo, and Mickey James all left around at the same time. And so honestly, I hope one good thing that this partnership could do, I mean, you could really just have a longer term space really for some of those women in NXT who are kind of, you know, need some more reps or we're just kind of in the spin cycle right now. Cause you know, I think it would really help and, you know, just send some of them over to TNA or even some of the women on the main roster. I mean, who are just not getting used.
Yeah. I could easily see a world where Candice LeRae shows up on TNA to challenge Jordan Grace. And I think that's a match. Just looking at it from a work rate standpoint, would feed families.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, somebody like her, somebody like Tegan Knox, who's not getting used at all.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course there's some women who, you know, so I think, I mean, to me, if you want something to be mutually beneficial over the long haul, I would, you know, that's something definitely that they can do, because again, they, you know, because there are a lot of women, the NXT women's roster is not getting any smaller, and now they've got a couple of generations now of people, and you know, they're kind of, you know, it would be good just to, again, to have them more frequently go over to TNA, some of those women who need, you know, who aren't getting used as much or who need some more reps or what have you. So that's, I mean, that's something I would hope that develops over the long run. That would be, I think that would be beneficial for both, really.
Yeah. I think it ends in a super show, for the record.
Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think that'd be a great, like a Worlds Collide type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're currently not using the Worlds Collide premium live event name. That's a perfect opportunity to bring that back.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess we should also note, Mr. Hammerstone showed up at NXT this week.
He did. Yeah, he did. He was like a $1 million, and he laid down for the for the North American champion.
Yeah, well, they had a good little 5 or 6 minute match, and they both, you know, and he didn't look, he made a good showing for himself.
Yeah. No, it's good to see that.
Yeah.
Where did he end up on the PWI? Any idea?
I didn't see his name. I'd have to go scrolling.
Yeah, that'll take time. I'm sure he's on there. Hammerstone's a name in the business. I'm sure he's on that list somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we take a quick commercial break? When we come back, we kind of talked about it a minute ago. NXT is switching channels. Raw is officially switching channels. We got a bit to talk about as far as WWE programming goes. We're going to go to quick commercial, but before we do, I want to invite you to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. From there, you can look out, check out, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We've got our very own t-shirt there. It's been up there for a little while. I think you should go check that one out. Summer's coming to a close. The holidays are coming up here very, very quick. You're going to want to get yourself some gifts, get yourself some t-shirts. T-shirts make awesome gifts. A Mindless Wrestling Podcast t-shirt would go a long way in making someone happy. It'll make yourself happy. It'll make your family happy. It'll make your skin happy if you get one in soft style. That is ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We're going to go to commercial and we'll be right back.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
And welcome back to the show. We're going to talk a little bit of WWE programming. Got some big shifts coming forward as we anticipate Raw going to Netflix. We watched the final SmackDown episode on Fox. They are now making the move over to USA Network. And in the meantime, Raw, which has been 3 hours, is now going to be going down 2 hours. So we've got a bit to talk about there. I guess, Jason, since you brought this up, we can discuss first Raw and SmackDown both existing on the same network for a little while.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I just wonder if they, it's not like Raw or USA would have to do them any favors. You know, they don't, you know, they can trade talent between their shows anytime they want. But does this create just more of a synergy and more of a, you know, with WWE can say, like, hey, you can advertise this stuff, like, there's continuity between shows and we can get a little something. I don't know, just batting that around that it just, as it hits the ear, it would be easier, right?
I think so. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and I think, and look, especially as we start getting into stuff like Survivor Series, you know, because I think, you know, the War Games thing might be kind of a cross-brand thing this year, so yeah, I think, you know, it'd be from that end, it'd be easier to advertise stuff going back and forth. And I guess, but so I think really what just what happened here, well, the Netflix thing for Raw doesn't start until January, so they were just kind of without a home for Raw for a few months. And I think just, you know, since they have a long relationship with USA, I think, you know, USA just kind of said, okay, you can stay for a few more months, but for the rest of this year, it's only going to be 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, technically they still have a relationship with USA because SmackDown's going there. So there's not like they burnt a bridge.
Right.
Yeah. So So I think that it could be a fun little last few months for Raw on USA.
So let's talk for a minute about Raw going down to 2 hours. I know a lot of people are already out there. I know a certain frightful journalist had his snarky little comment about, you know, Raw going to 2 hours. And, you know, then, you know, this is an entirely different subject. WWE TKO announcing that they would be doing less shows in the coming year. We don't even have to go down that route yet. But with Raw becoming 2 hours, what does this mean for the talent? And more importantly, do you think this is a test balloon for the move to Netflix? Because, you know, a lot of people are worried now for the people that already don't get TV time. You know, the Tegan Knoxes and the Candice LeRae's and the Indy Hartwells and the people like that who aren't seeing a lot of TV time. Now there's an hour less. So, you know, obviously that's got to be a legit concern for some people.
I would be shocked if Netflix Raw was 3 hours regularly. What I see happening is they're going to go to 2 hours, and then once in a while they'll have a super show and they'll be like, we're going to have a 3 hour Raw, tune in. And cause it's just easier. Yeah. Obviously you want as much content as possible, but you also want people to pay attention to the content that you're putting out and not everything get lost in the store, in the shuffle, you know, as there are more things for people to click their mouse or, you know, change their channel to. This just, I just feel it in my jellies, guys. They're going to 2 hours. It's been going that way for a while.
I have a thought about that, but Rob, I'm sure you've got some words because I'm going to throw something out there and see what you guys think. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. So I think, do I think this is an official test balloon? No, but is it going to be treated like one internally? Yes.
Yeah. that's the correct angle, Rob.
Yeah. Now, when they get to Netflix, I think, you know, it's possible that they could, we'll land somewhere in the middle, like, because if it's supposed to be ad-free, I think.
That was going to be my point. Go ahead and finish, and then I want to bring that up.
So, an ad-free Raw could just be the 2 hours and 20 minutes or 2 hours, 2.5 hours of actual show that you get now, just with no interruptions.
Okay. Then Rob brought up my point there.
Yeah. So, cause right now it's about like, I think it's 45 minutes of actual show each hour or something, 42 or 45 minutes of actual show each hour. So that's like 8,426. So it's like, just over 2 hours of actual show right now.
So what you're saying is you would not, in this math equation, you would not lose any actual TV or broadcast time.
Correct. And that was the point that I was going to make. If you cut out all the commercials, you're still looking at a 2-hour-ish TV show. I don't think anybody's losing any ground.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, it's very small and at the margins, but then I'm sure on Netflix they're going to have, you know, they never had an overrun for certain shows at certain times because of commitments, you know, and there were certain times of the year that we knew just SmackDown never gets an overrun because of the news. But that's my point. So could we just do a 10-minute overrun here? Oh, this segment needs, you know, 10 minutes more. Yeah, I see, especially if they're going ad-free. Yeah, there might not even be a formula. It might be just be like, about 2 hours, and then we'll figure it out.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When they're writing it, I mean.
Yeah. And now, I guess, but now that they don't have a specific, I don't think they have a specific time constraint now, because you know, like, because even with the 3 hour raw on USA now, like, you get 42 minutes of show every hour, right? So you got to have 42 minutes of stuff every hour,
right?
So now I think what this opens the door for now, now that you don't have to do that, I mean, some of like the some, you know, maybe not as many recaps, you know, maybe some of the, you know, that's one thing you could definitely trim, I think. Especially, I mean, cause in a world where it's all on Netflix, it'll be easier to go back and watch last week's episode or whatever if you miss it. Whereas like now, I mean, and the recaps matter now because some people literally do only watch it on USA.
And man, I am so looking forward to that. I've said on this show hundreds of times, I have not watched a live as it's happening episode of Raw or SmackDown in years. I don't have cable. And I either catch it on Hulu or catch somewhere online, and usually it's Hulu. But waiting for at first the network and then Peacock to get episodes like 5 to 6 weeks later was such a pain in the ass. And sometimes when you get on Hulu, some of the stuff that you might have wanted to see or that you heard, hey, it was pretty cool, didn't make the cut for the Hulu episode. You know, there's been plenty of times where there were like some women's matches that somebody said, hey, you need to check out this women's match. It was really good. And it didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
So I'm looking so forward to at least Raw. And SmackDown will still be an issue. I'll have to watch that on Hulu. But I am looking so forward to watching full episodes of Raw again. You guys have no idea.
And,
that's for you, buddy.
Yeah. And, where are they? Cause right now, cause now the Hulu situation is getting weird now. Cause, I think the deal for SmackDown with Hulu was through Fox. And now, so now the Fox thing is over. So there's, you know, stuff's very convoluted because basically they made a separate deal for each show with whoever would give them the best deal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why, you know, NXT will be on the CW because CW gave them a better deal than USA was going to give them for NXT. And then the Fox thing ended because Fox didn't like the ad revenue that was coming in because the advertisers are still idiots. you know, because to a lot of advertisers, they still see it as you know, the Carney Mud Show, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's something I want to bring up. That was a stupid tweet of the week that I saw after the AEW All Out pay-per-view. Some guy brought up something because somebody said something about, and I don't want to go down this road yet because we're not talking about that, but we can bookend the show about that. But there was a comment somebody made on sponsors and advertisers that I think needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and so it's, and now, you know, USA, of course, gave them so SmackDown needed a home because Fox wanted more ad revenue than they were getting. So USA offered them, to come back, and they're also getting some, they're bringing back something in the vein of the old Saturday Night's Main Event. They're having a few of those specials on one of the NBC channels. Don't know which one yet. So it's like musical chairs right now. And, we got to all figure out where it's all going to be. But I imagine that there will be some trimming on the margins of some of the stuff that's on Raw, because there are some things that they squeeze in that there's some filler there now, because they got to make 42 minutes of stuff for each hour of television. So yeah, there is some filler. There are some matches that go a few minutes longer. There are some backstage things that they stuff in there. There are some video recaps that they stuff in there now, and some of that stuff probably will get trimmed.
I'm going to be interested to see how the show flows, given the fact that it is still a live show. And if you've ever been to a live Raw or SmackDown TV taping, it's a little awkward. Like, I think back to the SmackDown I went to a couple years ago, and, you've seen video of this in different social media sites. During the commercial break, I think back to it was when Liv Morgan had her first SmackDown Women's Championship run, and she had a match with, I believe it was Natalya. And Liv came out to the ring. She did all the pose and everything with the belt. And then I was sitting across from the hard cam, and you could watch the timer when they were going to commercial. And as soon as they went to commercial, she stopped her pose, slid out of the ring, and went over to the announce table and was just kind of chilling out over there talking with Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. And then clockwork, she got the countdown, 10 seconds left. She slides back into the ring, goes back into the pose to come back off commercial. If they're going ad free, and I know they've been kind of doing a little bit of that here and lately, I'm interested to see how a show is going to flow ad-free, where you don't have to do that little, okay, we're going to commercial, take your break, walk around the ring, do whatever, how they're going to go from next match to next segment to next match, and how it's all going to go. I'm very, very curious to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah, because like I said, sometimes, man, going to Raw or SmackDown,
I almost don't like it.
Yeah, unless
it's cool to say you were there, but
yeah, because if something big happens that night, if something big or important happens that night, or there's some match of the year kind of match or something, then yeah, it's great. But if it's a quote unquote, just normal episode of Raw or SmackDown, man, yeah.
And it was just that. The only distinction that I had with this SmackDown is that it was, and I'm throwing air quotes in the air here because the guy came back temporarily, it was what we were considering the last official Vince McMahon SmackDown. He announced that he was retiring that morning, and then we went to SmackDown that night. So that's really the only distinction I have. Other than that, it was an average episode of SmackDown. Good matches. Some of the stuff was fun, but there was nothing earth shattering at this. And I remember my daughter, and actually I think we had her on this show after we went, and you guys asked her some questions about the show, and she made the comment. She's like, there wasn't a whole lot of wrestling on the wrestling show.
Nope.
And there really wasn't. I mean, there were three or four good matches, but there was a lot of filler, a lot of stuff. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out in front of a live crowd with no commercial breaks.
That is going to be really interesting. If the crowd gets ornery or anything like that, where there's no breaks. I mean, I'm sure they'll run their own commercials, right? They're not just going to go segment, 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 segment.
No, I would imagine they'll probably do recap or, hey, Bad Blood is coming, or, Royal Rumble's in 4 weeks, and they'll have some kind of gratuitous Royal Rumble commercial that'll take 90 seconds or something. So, I mean, I imagine they'll do some of that.
You got to have time. I mean, you got to have time to run all the normal ads as the bumps that they run normally, like the WWE shop tonight, whatever percent off, and hey, in your area, and I imagine, actually, does Twitter or Netflix allow location based stuff? Otherwise, they'll just have to run hey, these are our next 30 days of dates.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because we get, you know, on cable, you get, hey, you know, I get a commercial that you guys don't. Hey, Providence, we're coming to SmackDown's coming.
Yeah.
So they'll have to run that kind of stuff some way.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting time. Let's talk real quick about NXT going to CW. Rob pulled some data for some of the more recent shows on CW. And, you know, we were trying to kind of speculate as to what kind of numbers NXT might draw on CW versus what they're currently drawing on USA. And USA, they seem to have leveled out between 600,000 and 700,000 viewers. And, you know, there's some speculation because when you think of CW, a lot of times you think of these really popular shows, Supernatural, the entire Arrowverse, the 100. There were a ton of really good pop culture shows on the CW. And you think about those, and in my head, those drew really good numbers. And but those shows are now all gone. Rob's pulling the data, and it's not thrilling.
They have not found an Arrowverse replacement.
They have not. They have not replaced Supernatural, the CW, or the 100. None of it.
It might be the WWE universe.
Well, that's part of the discussion I want to have.
And also, off the top, let's just remind everyone, you have CW. If you have TV in any form, if like if you have terrestrial television, you have the CW. It is your local affiliate. It so yeah,
it used to be UPN back in the day, I think.
Yeah, well, because that was
UPN. WB.
Yeah, it was UPN and WB, and then they merged together to become CW.
Yes.
And UPN, which my people famously called the U People's Network, because they started it with a bunch of shows with black people.
Yes. I think Living Single was on UPN, wasn't it, Rob?
Oh, well, that was on Fox.
Was that on Fox?
Yeah, but there were a bunch of shows that had all black casts when they started the network. And so, yeah, it was as a pejorative. It was called the, some of it, you know, jokingly called the You People's Network.
You People Network, gotcha.
But, you know, and of course, once they started to get a bigger audience, they got rid of all the black people shows. But, you know, that's another conversation.
That's a whole other conversation, my God. But,
and then on the other end, if your local affiliate, cause my, CW used to be our WB, and I know it's the same network, WLVI, or whatever it is. And it, other people in other the states that I know say, oh, our CW used to be our UPN. So, depends. Yeah. But, because you could not get much more different than the you, quote unquote, You People Network than you switch over to Smallville and, you know, Buffy, and et cetera, et cetera. That was more for me and DJ.
Well, but little did they know that us people watch those shows too.
Yeah, right. Especially Buffy and stuff.
But anyway, so yeah, like Jason said, look, if you have a TV, then you can get the if you watch any regular TV now, even if it's just like NFL Sunday on Fox or whatever, then yes, you have a channel with the CW on it. So.
Seriously, if you're one of those persons who gets your local package from your cable company and that's it, you have CW.
Yes. So, shouldn't have any problem finding it. And now, you know, for people like me who like to look up numbers, it's, I'm very curious as to what's going to happen here because CW's regular shows now are in like, they're topping out at 500,000 people. So this, I mean, on the one hand, when SmackDown went to Fox, they were essentially like gifted maybe 200,000 or 300,000 people just by being on a network TV instead of cable. That definitely won't happen here, but since they're already doing a bigger number on USA, it's just going to be interesting because maybe they do the same number. Maybe they get up to 700 or 800 regularly because of being on network TV. But then again, this is the CW. So, and of course it's going to depend on how much, you know, it gets promoted and all of that kind of thing. But it will more than likely be the most watched show on the CW from the moment they arrive.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And Jason, you know, brought up a point. Maybe NXT will be that next pop culture show for them. You know, like an Arrowverse, like a Buffy, like a, you know, the 100 or something like that, Supernatural. Maybe they need a tentpole show to kind of bring so everybody say, hey, CW's still a thing.
And I know we're three middle-aged dudes, but I can at least recognize that of the shows on TV, including AEW, NXT is the, and I'm throwing heavy air quotes here, coolest show, in my opinion. Like, I think you get the widest age range. I think it successfully does the variety show thing while still maintaining a wrestling show, which even Raw and SmackDown, as we just talked about, sometimes lose that. So, all the potential is there for kind of not a cult following, but yeah, like a new fan base on CW.
Just look at their major stars though, and the cross section of people that are major stars on NXT, that appeals to that demographic, the CW demographic. When you look at those like the Trick Williams and the Roxanne's and the Saul Rukas and just, you know, Lash Legend and Jada Parker and, you know, just write down all their major players, that age bracket, that's what they're looking for.
They're a diverse, young, hip group of kids. Like,
they're all hot. Really it. You know, they're all smoking hot. They're all kids. They're all, it's all the, they check off all the boxes for the CW's demographic.
Yeah. Like if you wanted to try to get a group of teenagers to watch a wrestling show, that's the one you should point them to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is the show. If you want a group of teenagers to watch a wrestling show because it's a cool show or whatever, That's the one to point them to.
See, if I'm CW, I have Trick Williams everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'd make that dude the centerpiece of all the marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
especially anything he has to talk at. Press events, etc.
Yeah.
So, going to be interesting time for WWE programming, that's for sure.
Yeah, the washboard abs are nice, but that man can talk.
He checks off all the boxes.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah.
So, man. So, guys, do we have anything else or can we call it early?
I think we can. Because, again, we're kind of in the kind of
doldrums.
When is Bad Blood? Is that October?
Shoot, I don't even know. I got to check.
First? October 5th, I think.
Bad Blood. When is it? Yeah. Look, we don't want to end up like forgetting about it.
No. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's October 5th.
Yeah, October 5th. So
October 5th. So
look, it's that time of year because usually, you know, they're pretty hot for a month coming out of SummerSlam. Then after about a month, it cools off again. That's kind of where we are right now. So.
Yeah. Well, the biggest reason I bring that up is because there is going to be a slight programming change for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and some things on the Chairshot Radio Network the week of the Bad Blood Premium Live event. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast usually drops on the network on Saturday, which would be the 5th. However, when we record the days before, we are going to do a super show with the guys from the DWI podcast. We're going to have Tunney and probably Dave and AJ and maybe DP. We're going to have them on here, and collectively between the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and DWI, we're going to talk about the Premium Live event. We're going to give our predictions. We're going to have some discussion about that. And then immediately following that podcast will air on Friday instead of Saturday. So I want to get that in your heads now. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast will air on October 4th, the day before the Bad Blood Premium Live event. The Saturday show will be ourselves on the DWI podcast doing trivia and doing whatever else comes, you know, that Tunney has planned on that show. So it's kind of like a dual cast, simulcast type thing. We're going to do our show here with them. We air on Friday, then we'll do their show with them, and that airs on Saturday. So I want to make you guys get that in your head. The week of Bad Blood, our programming day will swap from Saturday to Friday.
We appreciate our fans.
We do. Yes. We do. We try to keep you guys up to date when we're here and keep you guys aware of any changes that happen and any changes that are coming. But you know what? Let's get out of here, guys. Let's call it an early night. I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason, sir. Thank you for shouldering some of the responsibility from last week, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, no worries, man. It was on all of us. Like, I can't believe we did 2 hours and we're just like, yeah, no one looked for the little red light. No one noticed the little red light wasn't there. No one noticed that the guy who always starts the show with, okay, I'm recording, never said, okay, I'm recording. Yeah, that's on us.
Well, now we know, and knowing is half the battle.
Yes. So look, we'll better to mess up like we did than to mess up like Shannon Sharp did, right?
Oh, hey, boy. Oh,
mess up that. Forget that. You're all getting worked.
Yeah. The best part though was R-Truth. Was R-Truth in the comments?
Oh yeah, R-Truth. R-Truth
made that thing gold. and yeah. From the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir, thank you for another good show.
I know, always a pleasure, man.
All right, and I'm DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week. All right.
Yeah. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.